Tonight we're going to be talking about a word, as I mentioned, that we hardly ever use in church anymore. Before I get started, I just want to tell you, when we get done, we're going to sing a song that we haven't sung in a while. And I got the sheets here. It's Get All Excited, because it's a while since people got excited, and it's time to get excited. So in Psalm 122, verse 1, it says, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. At our house, Mimi and my house, we have words that you're not supposed to say. When our kids were young, there were certain words you just didn't say in our house. And I still have to tell you, there's an S word that we don't use, or at least I don't. She does once in a while. She goes over the edge. But you're not supposed to, at least in my house. And maybe you think you know what that S word is, but you probably don't. That S word is shop. Lord, forgive me for my language. And I'm sure all the men here would like to say amen, but the problem is, you know, you're going to go home and have to live with that one who loves to shop. I've been in the Lord's work many years now. I think I've been a pastor. This will be 28 years. I like to think of one word that we don't use in church very often that we should use all the time. And that word is excitement. How long has it been since you went to church and really got excited? I hope today with the boys and girls that were here and the families were here, I hope it stirred you at least a little bit. Something to say, maybe there's hope yet. Folks, we need to start getting excited. And I know a lot of people say, whoa, pastor, slow down. You don't get excited in church. But that's a shame, isn't it? Isn't it a shame we don't get excited sometimes? Every person in this room loves excitement. There are many people, churches all across our country, that are not in church tonight, that normally attend. What's going on now that people are so excited about? March Madness. Man, we get screaming and cheering and we get excited. When's the last time you heard somebody scream out in church because they were so excited, filled with joy? Has it been more than a week? Maybe more than a month? Maybe more than a lifetime almost? Folks, if anybody ought to get excited about something, it ought to be Christians. When we see a young family here that's struggling, and they hear a message, and suddenly the man says to his wife, I'm not ever going to do what I did again. I'm going to change. Folks, should we get excited about that? Should we say, well, that's really nice. I am so happy for you. Folks, it just changed a family, maybe for the next 40 years. When somebody receives Christ as their Savior, do we still get excited, or we just say, well, that's really nice. I'm really happy for you. Folks, that ought to be the most exciting thing in life. And yet, sadly, it's not. When we answer the question, what excites you today? It'll tell you whether you're in the flesh or you're in the spirit. If what excites you is a basketball game, there's nothing wrong with basketball games. Basketball games can be fun. But if that's the most exciting thing in your life, are you walking in the spirit or are you walking in the flesh? Walking in the flesh. I don't care if it's golf. I really enjoy golf. I really do. I and Norm have a good time. Neither one of us are worth a toot, but we have a good time with it. But if that's the most exciting thing in your week, could something be wrong? The most exciting thing. David said, I rejoiced with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. When's the last time you rejoiced when it was time to get ready to go to church? Praise the Lord. I wish everybody could say that. I heard somebody tell me this morning, man, I just about didn't get up. I was really tired. But if it would have been something they passionately cared about, would they have gotten up? Oh, I want to tell you, you couldn't hold them down. Folks, we need to start getting excited about the things of God. And I'm not just saying coming to church. I'm talking about witnessing, doing different things. So something good happens in life. the family of a serviceman. The serviceman comes home. Do people get excited? Man, they sure do. If they don't, there's something wrong in the family. We rejoice in certain things. And when we get excited, there's three things we do. Number one, we embrace it. We just love it. We wish it would just keep lasting. It's a big, we don't want to dial it backwards. We don't want to fast forward. We want to stay in the moment. Folks, we need to be those that love the moment when finally the Lord breaks through in somebody's life and they make a decision for Christ. Whether it's salvation or sanctification or whatever it might be, that ought to excite us. But I'm afraid it doesn't, because we don't care very much about spiritual things like we used to. So when a grandchild's born, do the grandparents get excited? Oh man, it's a wonderful thing. It's an exciting thing. I want to tell you, we tell ourselves we deserve this. This is wonderful. We want it to last. The second thing is we enjoy it. When our team wins the basketball game, whether it's high school or college or professional, when our team wins that Super Bowl, we get excited. Why? Because we care about those people on that team. But do we get excited when things are going well in our church? Or do we say, uh-oh, this could mean more work? Or do we say, man, listen to those kids, how noisy they are. Oh, it's an awful thing. Folks, we ought to be glad for those little kids, because that is the next generation of the church. Our calling in this world is to help prepare that next generation to take over when we're not going to be here anymore. I figure, Lord willing, I've got another 5 to 10 years and I'm going to be moving off the scene. Just the way it is. Part of life. We exclaim it. When people really get excited, you can't hardly hold their voice down. They'll scream, they'll shout, they'll jump, they'll do whatever they can do to get your attention that, yes, finally, it happened just the way I wanted it to. Sadly, we don't do it on things of the Lord. And it's a shame. You know, people today, if you're on Facebook, you can look on there, you can see all kinds of things people are excited about. If you have MeWe, Litikin, whatever your social network is, Parler, Instagram, whatever, people get excited and they proclaim it on there. When's the last time you saw somebody say, you know, somebody got saved in our church today and I am so excited? That ought to be a common thing, but it's not. So number one, excitement. Excitement is like a narcotic. We want excitement. And the sad thing is, most of the excitement we get is carnal excitement, things on this earth, things of this world, and we hardly ever get excited about eternal things. So again, what gets you excited? What is it that appeals to you the most, that you can really get excited about and it pumps your blood? Again, how long since you were excited about coming to a church anyplace? Folks, it's sad what goes on, but excitement runs all through the scriptures for God's people. We're going to look again at Psalm 122, verse 1. It says, I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. And I know there they're talking about the temple or the tabernacle, probably the tabernacle at that time. The church, the building that we're in, is not the temple of the Lord or the house of the Lord. This is a place where Christians come and meet together. But we still should be excited about coming and meeting together. That word rejoice is a powerful word, and it paints a powerful picture about the needed attitude we ought to have when it's time to go to church. Can you sense the excitement of going into God's house, meeting with the Lord? When we come here, I hope you come expecting the Lord Jesus to be here. Because the Lord Jesus said, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, I'm right there in the midst. We've got more than two or three. Not many more, but we've got more than two or three. So I hope there's excitement with you. Years ago, we used to sing, Get All Excited. Some of you remember the song. That's the one I'm going to pass out when we're done. But we don't get excited. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit's grieved. I'm sure the Lord is not happy with his people when the last thing, the least thing that can move us is the Lord moving in somebody's heart. It's got to be grieving him. If God is God, and he really is, if Jesus is Lord, and he really is, if the Holy Spirit is our guide for life, and he really claims to be, we ought to be excited. We ought to be rejoicing that the God, the Creator God, loves us. Imagine that. All of your sins are forgiven. Do you know that the joy of the Lord is your strength? Look at Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Nehemiah said, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to the Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. If you want to have strength in your Christian walk, if you want to see the Lord do things in your life, you've got to get the joy of the Lord. You've got to have some excitement. Joy is a big word in the Bible. I know it's only three letters, but it's a word that's used a lot. Over 230 times, and rejoice is used over 250 times. It's the gospel. It's the good news. And we really ought to have some joy in it. But I watch so many Christians, and they're just down all the time. You know, we just went through COVID, and our church membership is down now. People aren't coming anymore. We're so down and out. Is God still on the throne? I know we've gone through some hard times, but I got to tell you, the Lord's still in charge here. God so loved this world, the world of men and women, boys and girls, so much that he took on flesh. He dwelt among us, and he died to cover and take care of our sin. How long since you rejoiced that there's no sin on your record whatsoever? Do you understand every sin you've ever done has been forgiven? Is that worth any happiness at all? Or is that just, oh yeah, sins are forgiven. That's really nice. I'm really glad. I can't imagine the Lord being too happy about that. How about the fact that you know in your own heart right now that God has spoken in his word and you finally understand it? Does that give you any joy? Or is it just, yeah, I understand what God said now. I know the plan of salvation. I know that he's going to work a work. I know Jesus is coming back. But I don't know if it'll be today or tomorrow. And so I'm a little tired, but it's, boy, isn't it exciting? Folks, that's the way we live. And that's a shame. We ought to be so excited about it, we can't be quiet about it. Many of you came out of sinful lives like I did. The Lord really took away some bad habits for me. And in John 10:10, he says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's Satan. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your health. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it to the full. Let me just ask before I read that next verse. Do you have life to the full today? Is your life full and your heart full and there's joy in your heart? Or are you just going through the motions? Because so many are just going through the motions. There's no excitement about the gospel. There's no excitement about the Holy Spirit living in me. There's no excitement about going with other Christians and getting together and training that next generation. We just go through the motions. And it's sad. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. How long since you've been excited that Jesus Christ died for you? He died for the whole world, but he died for you. Imagine that. He knows everything about you, yet he loves you intimately. Is that anything to get excited about? When a young fellow sees a gal that really catches his eye, or a young gal, a fellow that really catches her eye, and the sparks start to fly, they get excited. How long do they stay excited? Usually until after what? Until after they're married. It's an amazing thing. You've got more time together than ever, but the fire goes out. And that's not what the Lord wants. He wants us, the more we're together, to get more and more and more excited. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, what hope would you and I have of eternal life? We would have none. Does it excite you that Jesus Christ is your Savior? Or is it just taken for granted? We're going to sing Get All Excited in a few minutes, but can you imagine how excited the four fishermen were when Jesus Christ called them to ministry? I want to show you how excited they were. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 18, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and they followed him. Did they get excited about this new proposition the Lord gave them? They got so excited, they left their business. That was their livelihood. They not only left their business and their livelihood, they left their families. Peter was married, very likely had children, and he went on the road. He left it all because he was excited about the Lord and his walk with him. They left everything. Can you imagine the excitement when the triumphal entry came and Jesus, finally, the Messiah, is coming in to Jerusalem? They've waited at least 2,000 years for this to happen. And now it's happening right before their eyes. In Matthew 21, verse 1, it says, as they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go to the village ahead of you, and at once you'll find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say the Lord needs them and he'll send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter Zion, see your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did just as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. Folks, we need to get excited about the fact that Jesus not only came, but he died for you. He died for me. John chapter 4 has always been one of my favorite stories in the Bible. This lady really got excited. This is John chapter 4, verse 1. Now Jesus learned the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone to town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock? Jesus answered, everyone who drinks from this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The woman said to him, sir, give me this water, so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water. He told her, go call your husband and come back. I have no husband, she replied. Jesus said to her, you're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true. Sir, the woman said, I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, Jesus replied, believe me, a time is coming when you'll worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming, and now has come, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. Jesus declared to him, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Before we go on, can you back up to 26, Dave? I want to explain something to you. Whether you know it or not, in the original language, that word he is not there. What Jesus answered her is, I am. That is the covenant name for God. Jesus is telling her he is God. Now, verse 27. Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, what do you want, or why are you talking with her? Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people. Oops, should be more. That's what I had, okay. Let me go. Let's see. Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? They came out of the town and made their way toward him. So I want to go over those three things we said would happen when you really get excited. Number one, you're going to embrace the thing that's exciting you. This woman embraced Jesus' words so much, she left her water pot. Now you may say, ah, water pot, big deal. But if you don't have a water pot, you have no way to get water next time you need it. Are you excited that since the day you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you never thirsted again for spiritual drink? I found everything in Christ that I've ever looked for. I don't look for anything else. I'm totally satisfied spiritually with what I found in Jesus Christ. That ought to excite us. We ought to embrace it. She enjoyed it. She went home to the people she knew, and she had a bad reputation in town. But she was really a nice woman. You know, there's a lot of people that don't do all the dots and the tittles and all the laws, but they're really nice in their hearts. People listened to this woman. She enjoyed what she heard, she got so excited she couldn't wait to tell the people in town. She exclaimed. She didn't say, oh, you guys, you really should come out here and see a guy who told me everything I ever did. I don't know if you can even imagine how fast she was probably talking. You got to come. A man told me everything I ever did. She was excited. And the people went out. Everybody went out. Why? Because they saw real excitement in this woman's life. Do you know why many people don't come to Christ? Because Christ's disciples have no excitement. We don't have the joy of the Lord in our heart. we're just going through the motions. If we would get excited about our relationship with the Lord, people might say, maybe there's something really there. But when we get more excited about a football game or a basketball game or a golf game than we do the things of the Lord, people say, can't be much to that Jesus stuff, because his people don't even care about assembling together. They're busy doing what? Their own thing. There's no embracing of it. Another story I love is in John chapter 9. In John chapter 9, we see the story of the man that was blind and the Lord healed him. It says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus said. But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it's day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Some of them claimed he was. Others said, no, he only looks like that. But he himself insisted, I am the man. How then were your eyes opened? They asked. He replied, the man they called Jesus made some mud, put it on my eyes, and told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see. Where is this man? They asked him. I don't know, he said. They brought him to the Pharisees, the man who had been born blind. This man couldn't see. I was 25 years old and totally blind, not physically, but spiritually. I could not see any of the truths of God's word. And at the age of 25, the Lord opened my spiritual eyes. I never got over it. I hope you never get over your salvation. I can now understand the things of God. I could not before. To me, that's exciting. I don't know. You can yawn if you want, but I want to tell you, to me, this is still exciting. In John 9:13, all they care about is the details. Their heart isn't in the fact that this man was born blind. They want details. Now, in the day which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath day. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed, and now I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he's a prophet. They still didn't believe that he had been blind or born blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. Is this your son? They asked. Is this the one you say was born blind? How is it that now he can see? We know he's our son, the parents answered, and we know he was born blind. But how he can now see, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll speak for himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That is why his parents said, he's of age. Ask him. A second time they summoned the man who had been born blind. Give glory to God by telling the truth, they said. We know this man is a sinner. He replied, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered, I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are this fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, "Now that's a remarkable thing. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." To this they replied, "You are steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. They threw him out of the synagogue. I got to tell you, today, there are churches that it would be a blessing to get thrown out of because they're not preaching the word of God. When he got kicked out of the synagogue, that was not an altogether bad thing. They were not following God. Jesus said, "I came from God. You've seen me, and yet you will not believe." Folks, I want to tell you, there's a reason why they didn't believe. A little story, just to kind of tell you what goes on in churches today. Funny story about a woman. She's in her church, and she's trying to pray, and she's in her pew, but she's got a little boy. Her little son is about 3. And a little boy, he isn't making a ruckus. He's not making any noise, but he's sitting in the pew next to his mother, and he's looking behind her and simply smiling at the people behind. He's just entertaining himself by smiling and seeing the responses that he gets. After a while, his mom realizes what he's doing. She jerks him around, sets him down in the seat, and says quite loudly in a small voice, "Stop smiling. You're in church." Folks, that's the way we get. We get so formal and so caught up that we can't enjoy church, and we can't let anybody else enjoy it either. This ought to be an exciting place. Let me just ask you, tonight, looking at your own life, don't raise your hand. I don't want any outward response. I just want you to think. If you were to describe your spiritual walk with the Lord tonight, what word would you use? Would it be, "I'm hot for the Lord"? Would it be, "I'm lukewarm for the Lord"? Might it be, "I'm almost frozen for the Lord"? How do you judge that? You judge that by this. How much do you love to read the Word of God? How much do you love to pray? How much do you love to sing the songs of God? And maybe you don't have a good voice. I don't care what your voice sounds like. The Bible says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord." He didn't say a pretty noise. He said a joyful noise. We do the best we can. A grandmother took her 3-year-old daughter, and she began to read. She set the little girl on her lap, and she began to read her out of the book of Genesis. And after a few minutes, she noticed that her little granddaughter was much quieter than normal. And she said to her little granddaughter, "What do you think of what I just read?" She says, "Oh, Grandma, it's so wonderful, because you never know what God's going to do next." When we come to church, are we pretty sure how the day's going to go? Is it going to be that same routine over and over and over? Or when you come to church, do you think maybe today is the day God might do something wonderful? We come bored, and we leave bored because we don't believe God can still do mighty things. I want to tell you, God is still in the business of changing lives. And so I want to encourage you, when we sing this song, get excited. Where did I put my song? Had it right here, I thought. Well, I thought I did. They're not here. Let me go in the office quick and we'll get all excited because I made 10.